How do I find a new job? How can I make a career change? And the biggest question of all, can I really find a career that I love? Hey, my name is Jen Smith, and I believe career success doesn't have to be at the expense of living a radiantly happy and healthy lifestyle. As a former HR leader and recruiter turned career coach, I get what companies are looking for when hiring top talent. What that means for you is an unmatched combination of insider knowledge and the best kept secrets about making heart-based career changes and navigating the ups and downs of job searching in today's world of work. Whether you're a recent graduate navigating the job market for the first time or a seasoned professional ready for a career change, this show is for you. So grab your coffee or your kombucha, pull up a seat and get ready to be challenged and inspired to move beyond your self-doubt and take the right next steps towards landing a career you love. Because you deserve a long, radiantly happy and healthy career. This is the Flourish Careers Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Flourish Careers Podcast. I'm Jen Smith, your host, and today I'm thrilled to be here for another installment of Flourishing Together, a monthly segment dedicated to curated conversations with industry insiders sharing wisdom and strategies for improving your work and well-being. Today, I am delighted to introduce you to Laura Eigel. Laura is the founder of The Catch Group, a leadership coaching firm accelerating women into the C-suite. She's also the host of the You Belong in the C-Suite podcast and author of the book, Values First: How Knowing Your Core Beliefs Can Get You the Life and Career You Want. Laura is known for her direct feedback and her passion for living a life guided by her values. She's been an HR executive at Fortune 50 companies, joined the C-suite as a chief learning officer, and now coaches high-achieving women to build fulfilling lives inside and outside the boardroom. She's also a mom, wife, true crime podcast fan who loves indoor rowing. Laura, welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy that we get to hang out and share this space together. I've been looking forward to it. So thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. And I have to share the fun fact on how we connected. So just quick little backstory here. Laura and I were brought together through a mutual connection who had emailed us and suggested that we connect. So after that email came through, of course, I went to Laura's LinkedIn profile and I was shocked by the fact that we shared 45 or so first level connections. And so I dove a little bit deeper and discovered that both Laura and I worked at PepsiCo or Frito-Lay at the exact same time. So when we actually met for a quick coffee chat, we found out that Laura was working at the headquarters at the same time that I was working as an HR leader in the field. And as soon as Laura mentioned her maiden name, I immediately knew who she was because she was the leader of a project that she was rolling out that we had to roll out in the field to our employees. So it's such a small world. It was so much fun to connect that way. And I just feel like this also highlights the power of LinkedIn and all of this, you know, this digital world that we live in. So I had to share that story.
I love it. And I love that the world is so small, but that like we found our way back to each other. Now we can like dig into some of the stuff that we love, even though like back in the day, I'm sure we were really great at those jobs, but like this feels more fun.
This feels way more fun. So today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and I know it's one of your favorite topics too, and it's all about values and how they relate with their career. And I feel like this is just such an important topic, and it's a really big piece of the heart-based career planning that I do. And so I'm super delighted to dive in with you on this. And I'd love to start with a story from your career where maybe your values were not aligned and how that experience or that pivotal moment guided you to become an expert in this space.
I love it. Thank you so much for this question. So there's been a couple, but I'll give you probably the most recent. And so I left PepsiCo to be a chief learning officer at this learning and development membership company for C-suite executives and for CEOs and presidents. And so I was really excited about this role and it was so fun. I got to build capability at kind of the leadership at the top of the house, right? And so we, it was a global organization. I got to travel and then pandemic hit. And so we kind of shifted just like everybody else did. And it was hard, right? Like everybody else is very hard. And it was another point in time where I was like, okay, this is hard, but it's hard because of all the other external things, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my first inkling. I had always loved developing folks and I had kind of made a career of it, right? And so this job, the organization was absolutely aligned, but it kept being hard. And I kept feeling like this pull where I hadn't felt a pull before, back to something that I really loved, which was executive coaching. And so I remember this very clearly. I was getting ready for like a Zoom call or something. And I looked over to my husband. I was getting ready in our closet. And I was like, hey, just because I can do a job, should I do a job? And he was like, wait, what?
Ooh, that's powerful.
And he goes, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to help women lead really successful careers through coaching. And he was like, okay, let's figure out how to do it. And so what to me, that pivotal moment was I felt like I had felt this kind of tugging for a bit. And I kind of ignored it because I was like, hey, it's the chaos of the world, right? And I loved my team. I loved leading a team of over 50 people. It was global. I worked from home most of the time. So there's lots of things that were like checking the boxes, right? But at the end of the day, I really thought about, hey, my values are family, growth, development, achievement, advocacy, and balance. And while some of those things are being met, like I did not feel that they weren't being fulfilled like as directly as I had seen them in the past. And so for instance, when I'm in coaching, I'm like doing one-on-one with senior leaders and I get to see like that change in them and their journey of self-discovery and like all those kinds of things. In my role in the C-suite, I was working with leaders who would then go do things in their organizations and then they would see the fruits of their labor, but I never got to see that. Mm-hmm. So it felt very downstream for me and it wasn't fulfilling my need to be as direct.
Yeah.
And so I went back to like, when did I really feel that? And it was really through coaching. And so that's what I started planning on. We had a change in our leadership where it became very clear. I was like, okay, well, if this is the change, our CEO is changing. And so I was like, okay. And the new CEO is coming on board and he's like, I'm so excited to have everybody on 110%. And I was like, I kind of am not. And so I was just, while I loved the work and the mission and my team, like I knew that I was doing a disservice to my family, to myself, to my own goals, to my team, right? Because if I'm not living my values, then I'm not giving permission to everybody else to do the same. And so I made that hard decision to leave and to build my company called The Catch Group.
Good for you. The part where you were talking about just kind of like that sense that something was off and, you know, kind of trying to dig in and figure that out. I feel like so many times I talk to folks that are at that point, but they just have such a hard time. Like they feel some kind of push-pull. They know they're not feeling good. Some people are completely burnt out and fried. I was actually at that point myself, but you just feel like something's off and taking that pause and figuring it out. And in the moment where you say it out loud is such a big moment too. Yeah. So saying it out loud to your husband, you can probably take yourself right back to that spot. And when you say it out loud, you're kind of almost like committing to it. And then it's like, okay, what's next? Let me figure this out. And I also love the part of the story where you shared, you know, that you loved your team, the organization was a fit, but still something was off. And as you dug into that and some leadership changes happened and the pandemic was going on, let's be real, all of these things are happening, you know, and then kind of taking that pause and figuring out what might be next. So I feel like so many people can relate to that at one point or another in their career. And, you know, when I think of values too, I often use this idea that you think of a tree and their root system is I've seen some statistics around like 1.5 times the height of the tree is the roots. And that's how I think of our values. Like they're so deep ingrained in us. And if we're doing work in our careers, which take up a third of our lives, and it's not aligned, like that root system is just going to feel off. And you think of a tree like swaying in the winds of a pandemic and stuff like that, it's just going to fall over and break. And so it's so powerful to think about how to align your career with your values. So thanks for sharing that story. I'm sure so many people can relate.
Yeah, I love the imagery of the tree. I think I like to say like you can be grounded in your values, right? Rooted in them.
Yes.
So I love that that imagery. I think it fits it so well.
Yes, yes. I love trying to share different analogies or metaphors or imagery or something to really get people to understand this, because you know, in our world of career, there's so many shoulds, and we're going to talk about those societal expectations and things. And I think people just, they don't really feel like their career can be about them and their values. And that can just make life so not fun. That's not what it's about. So, so to that point, can you share with us what a values-based career might look and feel like?
It feels like being rooted inside and outside of work. I think it's not just the work stuff. It's everything. And I like to tell people we are whole humans, right? And so sometimes I feel like society puts on the, especially in America, it's like work-life balance. Okay, so it's work versus life. Like, aren't I a whole person? And why does work get so much of the focus, right? And so I get all of that, the making money, achievement, like all the things, that's fine. But it looks and feels like living your values inside and outside of work, right? It looks like when you're leading, it looks like you're leading with your values. It looks like you're making decisions based on them. It feels like you are transparent with them. You build boundaries with them. You potentially resolve conflict and tension faster because you're more rooted into them, right? You're more attuned to them.
Awesome.
Specifically at work, I think it looks like you have values alignment with the organization that you're in. So let me talk a bit about what I mean by that. So I think often in HR, we talk about culture fit and I hate it. I hate culture fit because it feels like here's the organization and do you fit here? Do you belong here? And so often we shift and shape and we like try and meet the needs and overproduce and try and the power feels like it's with the organization, right? Do I fit here? When really, if you're attuned to your values, you have your set of core values. An organization has a set of their core values. And if those are two circles, like a Venn diagram, where do those overlap? There's some kind of overlap, right? And so folks that are attuned to their values are going to be attracted to those right organizations for them, where they don't have to shift and move and change themselves. They naturally fit there because they're aligned with some of the same things, with how they work, how they make decisions. And so there's more of a values alignment within that organization and within the role. And so that's how I like to think about it. So if you know, the first thing is, do you know what those are? Like, first and foremost, like, how could you, if you don't, then it's really hard to understand what you're looking for and how that's different in different places. And so to me, that's what it looks like to have a values-based career, kind of understanding what that is. Going back to them to really make decisions for your, you know, like based on, should I take this role or should I take on this project? Like any of those kinds of decisions, you can say, hey, does it meet with the things that I need right now? And if it doesn't, that's okay. Right. Yes. And so, and being able to know the difference.
Yes, yes, and yes. If folks could see me nodding, like jumping up and down here. Yes. So much of what you're sharing here resonates. And I wish they taught this in college, even high school, because we don't think about that. And it's, you know, when you go to college, you're making these decisions at age 16 and 17 years old and trying to figure out your life. And you're so young, you don't even know who you are. And I wish, you know, there was a class where we could pause and think about who we are and what we stand for. And, you know, what we're good at. And I just, there's so much here. And so I want to go back to the work-life balance for a second here, because yeah. I literally feel like I've been hearing about that since I stepped into corporate America, and I worked the third shift. And so let me tell you, there is no balance. There is no work or life in that situation. But I think we've just gotten so far from what this really means. And there's a woman that wrote a book around being burnt out, and she talks about like the word balance, and you picture yourself on a balance beam and you're like balancing work and life and like not trying not to fall off. And that's really, it's more like the harmony of like life itself. And how do these things integrate, especially today, because we're so connected, you know, by yeah. those 24/7, you know, our phones are just attached to us all the time. So that's one thing I wanted to share. And then around the boundary. So I wanted to ask just one follow-up question to this, because I listened to one of your podcast episodes mm-hmm. where you talked about email. And this has been a big thing for me, and just one of my main distractions that really pulls me out of my boundaries, I guess, when it comes to life and work. And so the specific situation I just wanted to see if you would be willing to share more about was when I think it was going into one of your roles, you asked for a separate phone so you didn't have to have email yeah. on your personal yeah. phone. Can you tell us yeah. about that?
Yeah, for sure. So it was that role that I just talked about when I went into it. So I left PepsiCo to go to that role. Mm-hmm. And so at PepsiCo, I had, you know, just my one phone and everything was on it. And I checked it all the dang time. I checked it like, you know, I felt like I had to be available. I needed to know what's going on. And it became like, it was not healthy. Right. No. And yes. so as I transitioned, they asked me, do you want a work phone? And I was like, at first I was like, no, I do not, because my husband has a separate phone.
Phones,
and I thought,
yeah.
well, that's ridiculous. We don't need four phones between the two of us. But then I was like, wait a minute, let me think about this. And so the benefit of it is a global organization. They were on like more than my previous organization. And so I knew I would be on calls at different points in time. They also use text there. And so I was like, you know what? I think I need that separation, because if I'm going to use my phone, like text and being more available on WhatsApp, like I do not want this to be my personal phone.
Right.
It actually became pretty clear to me. And so I had like, I bought like a phone case that had two phones that I could take it out if I literally like on the weekend, I put it in a drawer.
Yes.
Like I did not need it. Like I physically put it somewhere where I could not get it. So I wasn't checking it.
Right.
And then it created this physical boundary that I did not know that I even needed.
Right.
So sometimes boundaries are things that are just unwritten rules, right? Mm-hmm. To help us. Other times you need a physical hard boundary. The other one I had similarly, I had never worked from home as much as that role. And so I had a dedicated office space, and I literally closed the door and I did not bring my laptop downstairs. Like that was another physical boundary rule that I had for myself. Like, cause if I bring my computer downstairs, then I'm going to work there. And I did not want that. And so, especially during pandemic, I was like so many, you know, blurry lines of everything. So that was another like physical boundary that I needed. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was like, okay, if I'm present here, then I'm present and I'm here and I'm developing my team and I'm achieving through work. And then I close the door and I leave my phone there and I'm then present downstairs when I'm with my family and when I'm mom or I'm making dinner or I'm whatever. It doesn't mean that I'm not still on Instagram. I'm still doing that sometimes on my personal phone, but like it created that separation. And to me, the key here is tying it to a thing that's important to you. So yeah. I'm going to step back real quick. I'm an organizational psychologist by training. And so I have my PhD in that. And so sometimes I like to geek out. So this is one of those times.
Love it.
So the science behind some of the motivation. So ooh, this yeah. forms an intrinsic motivation. And so what we're really trying to do is to create that that connection between what's something that you care about, your values, mm-hmm. and the boundary. And so if you can connect a boundary to a value, it's going to create that intrinsic motivation and kind of that stickiness to be able to keep it. It reminds you, it roots you back, like yes. you mentioned before, it roots you back into why it's important. So for me, I needed that separation and that boundary for my value of family, but then also for my value of balance. And balance to me is not work-life balance, but like just being centered
right.
and present. And so that physical boundary, I could, like in my mind, it was like, oh, I'm doing this because of that.
Right.
Right. And yes. that was the, okay, that was the motivation as I started to build the boundary and get some, because it's a behavior change. Behavior oh, change huge. Is hard.
Yes.
But being able to do that kind of in a clean break and starting a new role was like very key for me. And it really worked to create that separation that I needed.
Fabulous, fabulous examples. And I love how you're distinguishing like the physical, there was a physical boundary there and not just this mental boundary, it was both actually. But to your point about the behavior change that went along with that. And I found you had mentioned the word present. And so I'll just share this real quick. Last year, my word of the year was presence. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that email was such a big distraction. When you're working for yourself, it's a whole nother ballgame. But it literally was taking up so much space in my brain. I was checking it. I was deleting it. I was rechecking it like constantly. So I just took it off my phone. I'm like, you know what? I don't need this. Like I'm at my computer for 10 hours a day. I do not need to be checking my email. I'm not a brain surgeon. And so this is fine. And I did that and I have not put it back on. I just feel so much better. So,
I love that.
Yeah, these are just like, it's hard, you know, it's really hard. But when you know what your values are, one of my core values is time and spaciousness. And that was taken away from that. So you figure out what your core values are and then you prioritize them and it helps you make decisions just like you were saying. So love it. Great examples. Thank you. Now to that point, identifying core values is very difficult. So how do you help? And I'm going to recommend everyone go and get Laura's book, definitely. And she has a fabulous workbook as well that will help you with your values. But can you just share a little bit about how people can identify their values and maybe some of the trickiness around societal expectations, especially when it comes to life and career.
Absolutely. So there's a ton of assessments out there. There's card sorts. There's lots of ways to do it. Throughout my career, I've probably done like, I don't know, 3 or 4 assessments on like, what are most important to you? So the way that I do it, it's pretty simple. It'll take you about 10, 15 minutes nice. To start. And really that's the place I want you to do is just to start because sometimes that's the hardest part is to just start. Because sometimes it feels very big, like, oh my gosh, what do I stand for? It feels very nebulous.
Huge question.
And so I wanted to make it easy. So in the workbook, I have a values worksheet. It's free to download. So we'll give you the link for that. But basically, it's answering a couple key questions. So what is, talk about a time that is, that you are living in alignment with your kind of your best self. Like, what is that? What was that really great day? What was that day that you're like, I love this part of something, this part of my life. I love my job. Somewhere where you found fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And I ask you to kind of just write about that moment for a couple of minutes. What were you wearing? What was happening? Mm-hmm. What else is going on in your life? Who were you with? That kind of thing. Then I ask you to do kind of the opposite. Find a moment where you were in tension or in conflict. Like, what was that like? And in writing about that, sometimes that's where we find the most clarity in the discomfort.
Yes.
That's like such a rich place for clarity because basically your intention, something is not right. But you might feel a way about it. Like your stomach might be upset. You might feel tightness or like, get me out of here. Like something isn't right. It's your body telling you, hey, this isn't cool. There's a reason why. It might be anger. It might be whatever it is, whatever that emotion is. Pay attention to it because usually that means that a value is not being met. So after you write about that for a while, I ask you to look for themes and then pull out some of those themes into phrases or words that represent core values. So let me give you an example. When I wrote about like the best the best time. This was at Frito. I had gotten certified to do some executive coaching. And this was the first time I was meeting with a client, internal client from finance, and debriefing her Hogan assessment. And oh, so yeah. This is the personality assessment that we use there. And I just remember, like, I did all this like work and background to like make sure it was perfect. I probably spent way too much time on it. Then was in a one-on-one with her, and she was very senior to me. And so I felt like, this is my first one. She's going to totally know. Of course she did not. She saw me as an expert in the space, yeah. which I was, because I was yeah. certified to do it and trained to do it. And I just remember leaving the office and knowing like that I helped her figure out some stuff about herself. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I love my job today. I remember walking down the stairs and thinking, my job is so cool. And I just remember that feeling of like, oh, I can help somebody one-on-one like this, figure out something about themselves that will help them in their career, right? And so that's what I wrote about. And so from that, I kind of pulled out some of the values of development and growth, right? So whether it's for me or for someone else, those are some of the words that I pulled out there. And so once you get your values, I want you to pay attention to like, first of all, 5 to 7, nothing more than that.
Right.
Sometimes yep. 7 is even too much. Mm-hmm. And so because otherwise, you know, if you start like 10, it's just too many. There's too many things to focus on. And so I ask that you do kind of 5 to 7, write those down. And then sometimes there's like secondary values that you just kind of want to pay attention to because maybe they didn't make the list, but maybe they'll become important later.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the worksheet, you probably have 5 to 7 things. You start to describe them. What did those mean to you? What right. are those examples? And then I ask that you just kind of look around like in your life, where did these come up? And then over the next couple of weeks, it's kind of like an iteration. I like you to like test the different things. Like sometimes there's like some really happy surprises. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that this thing that I do is because I have this core value, right? Yes. And so there's some really fun, happy surprises when you're like, oh, this makes so much sense. Other times it's like, oh, that is important to me, but like, I do not do that at all right now. So I remember one, woman that I was coaching, she had a value of creativity, but it was nowhere. She used to do lots of things that kind of lit that fire, but yeah. she realized like, oh, this is still important to me, but I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. So then there might be some instances where we're like, okay, well, how do I get that value met? Right. And so as you think about that, you might push on different things. Maybe the value that you originally picked isn't really one that you need. And here's an example of the kind of where the societal stuff comes in. I had a client that, you know, we're in a group coaching session and she was like, hey, so here's my values. She had a value of family, innovation, a couple others. And she was like, but this one secondary value, I really want to make room for it. So I'm trying to figure out how do I connect it to something else. And then she was like, I feel like she's like, I hope this doesn't make me sound bad, but like, what if I take off family and put it there? Does that make me a psychopath if I don't have that? And I was like, of course not. And so sometimes we put in values that we think we have to have, mm-hmm, right?
For sure.
Because we're a wife or a mom or a caretaker of an elderly parent or a whatever. And if that is not something that you need to focus on right now, or if it's just kind of like a given, like it's table
yes,
stakes.
Table stakes. I always say that. Yeah.
Then maybe it doesn't belong on the list.
Right.
The other lens I always like to have, often people in nonprofit, people in HR, the supporting functions, right? Often they have a ton of values that are serving others, community, mm-hmm. sustainability, collaboration, mm-hmm. those kinds of things, advocacy. And I ask everybody to kind of look through their values. And I want at least one value to not be for other people,
yours.
To really just be yeah. for you.
Right.
Right. And so that's another place where sometimes the expectation is like, well, I find joy in doing this for other people. Well, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And you will always find that will be a thing. But if we're like, like everybody says, like you gotta pour into yourself. Like, I'm not going to say it. That thing has been talked about so many times, but like, where is the value that you have that's just for you? For me, it's balance. For others, I've seen it's freedom or adventure or creativity or even just a value of self-care. Like, what does that look like for you? And I always ask to just kind of push back on those expectations. Like, is there one that's just for you? And what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And often, not unsurprisingly, that's the one that's not being met.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so those are the ones that I would say kind of push on it and understand what is really important to you and what's not. And be okay with it changing over time, because I think it shows up differently as we evolve and grow and change our careers too.
Yes, definitely. I always talk about seasons of career. There's going to be different seasons. Like, I have a beloved in my community right now who just had a baby, and she's so upset that she didn't get promoted. I'm like, that's not the right season for a promotion. Like, your season right now is to be a mom, you know? And so I think that, you know, just thinking, knowing that they will evolve over time, it's not written in blood, it's not set in cement or anything like that. It's going to evolve over seasons is a really key piece. And that also, I think, helps with the societal expectations. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of times I work with folks who are changing careers, and there's so much pressure, even the early career folks, like there's so much pressure to pick the thing. But I'm like, no, it's going to evolve over time. You as a human is going to evolve over time. Your values are going to evolve over time. So don't put that pressure on yourself. Just like let it flow. And I love how you have people kind of sit with it for a little bit and see how it shows up and the happy surprises. And that discomfort in your body is telling you something. That somatic wisdom is so, so critical in kind of figuring this out. But to me, it's so worth taking a pause to do this. So everybody listening, get the workbook, do this work. It is so, so powerful. Even if you just spend 5 or 10 minutes, you know, a morning on it every day, just like pause, get clear on these values. It will help you so much, especially when you're making decisions. I do that a lot of times. I just did this with somebody who was moved into the entrepreneur space and then wanted to go back in, or vice versa, something like that. And I said, hey, it was literally a chat. I was on the phone. I was walking. I'm like, tell me your core values. Like, what's important to you right now with your career? And we listed them. And then she went back and she prioritized them, and it all led to a decision. And that's really what this can help you do. It's just so, so important. So thank you for sharing all those examples and, you know, ideas for folks to kind of get the wheels turning.
Yeah. And I love how you mentioned, like, they should evolve over time. Like, we change, we grow, we different seasons. And sometimes that looks like maybe it's a new value, but oftentimes, like, my values have been constant, but what they mean to you evolves.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so family, when I was early in career, looks very different than family now.
Right.
I'm married and have 2 kids. When I started, I did not. Right. And I was like fun aunt, but like, and you know, different seasons mean different things. So sometimes I might, some of my values might be more salient in different times of my life, even different weeks of the month. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's not this like perfect, you know, I'm in tune with my values all the time. Like, that is a fallacy, just like work-life balance. And it's more about using them to prioritize, like, how do I want to show up every day? But then, to your point, these big decisions. And it's so interesting. Like, you're like, oh, after like that example of with your client, like, it becomes like a roadmap, right? It's almost like your cheat codes for, is this the right thing for me?
Yes.
And you have all of that knowledge based on what you want and need right now through that system and language of values.
Yeah. And reassessing. That's part of like the heart-based career planning that I talk about, is reassessing every season. I actually lean into the seasons of nature as well, because so much shifts and energy shifts and times of year are different and stuff. And so check in every 3 to 4 months and see how you're feeling about your values. And maybe you need to reassess or reprioritize to help you feel balanced in your life or feel that harmony in your life. So very good conversation. So based on your work with others, can you talk about a couple common challenges that folks face when they're aligning their careers with their values, and maybe just like one or two tips on how to overcome those?
Yeah, I think it builds off of what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I meet different people at different, it might be that pivotal point, or they know they're feeling that like tug of like, I don't know if it's for me. Right.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's not recognizing that you can get your values met in the role that you're currently in. right?
Ah, I love that.
And so sometimes it's really being able to do that assessment and saying, okay, what do I want? And how can I do that here? Because yes. often it feels like, okay, I need to go. I need to change everything, or I need to completely change careers.
Right.
Right. And what I will tell you is that the same things that are happening yes. here, you pack your bag and you bring that bag with you, and do not be surprised if it shows up there if you have not done that work. Right.
Totally
and so,
agree.
So what can you change right now? What can you put into place right now? And often there's more than you think.
Yeah.
You can build more boundaries right now. You can take on or deprioritize different work that might be more or less fulfilling. You can have really important conversations. Values is another place of connection. And so if it's a place where like you're not aligned with manager, do they know what's important to you? Do you
right.
know what their values are? Do they know what yours are? What does that look like? Like talking about values is such an important manager direct report conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And if managers are not having that, which not surprising if they don't, because, you know, just having really great direct conversations is something that's hard yeah. for leaders to do.
Yeah.
You can always become a better manager in every place that I go.
Yeah.
It does not surprise me that we're not putting enough, organizations are not putting enough development into making good managers,
yeah,
right?
And totally so agree.
You will, if you haven't already, you'll come across a manager that you're not perfectly aligned with, but having a conversation about values and what's important to you, how they can help you and support you is a conversation that most people are willing to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is one of the things that sometimes if you're thinking about, it feels like I'm not aligned. Sometimes it feels like you have to leave. And yeah. I would say that's not always the case.
I
so that's yeah. one thing. The other thing I think sometimes is that sometimes our own conflict is the internal.
Mm.
It's not external. It's not the organization. It's not the manager. It's a conflict within your own values, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, I have achievement as one of my values, and I have balance, and I can't always have both of those at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And often, the things that we do is we put in for me anyway. I see this with lots of the clients that I work with in burnout or almost to burnout, is that in the times that we want to achieve, we often are not in balance with our other values, and we just kind of let it go, and
mm-hmm.
we stop prioritizing the things that are important to us. And then it becomes like a very big imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like achieving, I'm doing the things. That means I'm probably working longer. I'm extending my day. I'm in front of screens more. I'm not getting my other values met, right? And it becomes this extreme thing that nobody else has done to me than myself.
Right.
And I think it's very easy for that to be the thing that happens. Like we mm-hmm. overwork and we don't meet our other needs. And so the imbalance of the priorities. And often when I'm working with a client on this, I will actually tell them, I need you to work less. And they say, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine what that could look like, because
mm-hmm.
I won't get as much done.
Mm-hmm.
And actually what we found is that if you are, you know, getting the sleep that you need, right? If you are exercising or whatever, if you're living your value of creativity, whatever, then when you do go to work, you're going to be more focused. You're going to be making better decisions. You're going to get more stuff
done. Yeah.
Right. And so it feels counterintuitive, but sometimes I think it's the imbalance of our own values. It's real easy to, if you're not doing those check-ins and
right.
not feeling really grounded in them, that we can find that internal conflict. And often the thing that we disregard are the ones that are important, the most important to us.
Yeah, put everything else ahead of our own
yeah.
needs. And that's where if you can list them out and prioritize them and keep them top of mind, it can be so, so helpful in both of those situations. And I would just add to that, I had another thought as you were talking too. And with our world of tech and technology, think about stuff that you can automate. Like maybe you're
yeah.
spending 2 hours at the grocery store, you know, on the weekends or the evenings, and it's annoying you because it's taking time away from something else. do Instacart or something, like figure out what you can automate or delegate in order to, you know, feel more in balance with your values and, in you know, your work and life fulfillment.
Yeah, so. I love that. It's these setting up these systems.
Yeah, systems.
I talk about that as that's technically a boundary.
Right.
It's a boundary of your time.
Yeah.
Like I want to do X, Y, Z instead. What am I spending my time on? Okay, how do I set up a system so that I don't have to do that?
Right.
If it's paying somebody else to do it, outsourcing it, finding technology, or oh my goodness, maybe we actually just don't do it. Right? Yeah. Like we don't volunteer for the thing, or we say no. We actually say no to something. Putting that in place because you're putting it, then you're then prioritizing what is important to you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Love it. Great tips. Well, as we come to a close here, I always like to ask guests, what's one book, podcast, or resource that has a significant impact on your career and why would you recommend it to our listeners?
Yeah. So this was a podcast that I started listening to, and this is a funny nudge to the entrepreneur space. Listening to a bunch of entrepreneurship podcasts while I was in corporate. That is a sign.
Yes. Love it. Yeah. Good call.
But one of the podcasts, and this is more of a mindset shift that I had. It's from Amy Porterfield. She has a podcast called Online Marketing Made Easy, but she talks about a ton of things. A lot of the things that she talks about is growth and development and getting outside of your comfort zone. And I was listening to this podcast one time and she said, a while back when she was growing her business, she said she was feeling really uncomfortable. And the reframe that she had around it was, if I'm uncomfortable, then I'm learning. Uncomfortable, then I'm learning. So as a person whose values are growth and development, this resonated with me a ton. And so especially with achievement, I think sometimes my perfectionist self goes really hard into the achievement, into the things I know I'm good at. And I don't do some of the things that I am scared about or I feel uncomfortable in. And so I need to branch out more into these places, right? To really fulfill myself and growth and develop and reach for this uncomfortableness to really keep growing and learning. So that's the one that I would suggest.
Yeah. Amy Porterfield's great. I learned so much. I also devoured her content when I was planning to leave corporate and do my own thing as well, especially around, you know, teaching and learning. And she's the online course expert that's out there for sure. And add that to the show notes. So thank you so much, Laura. This has been such a fun conversation and so much wisdom and practical tips involved throughout our conversation. Where can folks find you online? Where do you like to hang out online?
I am mostly on LinkedIn and Instagram. Perfect. So you can, we'll make sure that we put my LinkedIn on there, and then you can download that workbook at thecatchgroup.com.
Perfect. And we will put all of those links in the show notes. It has been such a joy. Thank you for joining me today. And listeners, as always, you can find the notes from today's episode on the blog at flourish.careers/blog. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next time.